Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
If you're excited to be in church, can you just lift your head towards heaven? Let's just give God thanks and honor Him. We thank Him. Father, we love You. We worship You. We give You praise. We give You glory. Thank You for the privilege for us to converge even tonight. Lord, You are granting us illumination by Your word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You because Your word makes us that which it talks about in the name of the Lord Jesus. Our hearts and our minds are open to receive. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, while I was preparing to come share, it came very rapid, and that's how Apostle likes to train people. He likes taking people unawares, you know, and that's one of the fastest way you get to prepare yourself. Whether you like it or not, you must be prepared at all times, you know, and I'm grateful to God in the shortest possible time, I'm able to put out an outline that I'll be sharing with us. It's a Bible studies. So don't get offended when I point at you and ask you a question. We are studying together. Hallelujah. So another mic could just be there. I might just point at you. In case you're looking at me anyhow, I'll point at you. Hallelujah. All right, tonight we'll be looking at the subject evangelism, or rather soul winning. Now, I might be intertwining these words together. So please, you bear with me. When I say evangelism, just understand I'm talking about soul winning. When I say soul winning, also understand that I'm talking about evangelism. Praise God. This is a crucial aspect of the Christian faith, and is one subject we can't water down. You know, we are where we are today, or we are in the kingdom today because of evangelism, because of soul winning. At some point, someone told you about Jesus. It could be from your home. It could be out there. Somebody actually brought this gospel to you. Hallelujah. And that's why you are here today. So, in a short or in a simple form, I would just want to ask, what is evangelism or what is soul winning? Praise the Lord. Are we together? Praise the Lord. Okay, so if you have your writing materials, you can write. I just ticked out two definitions here. I would call evangelism as God's strategy for winning or saving the lost. This is God's strategy for winning or saving the lost. Praise the Lord. This can also be said to be a way of procuring or a process of procuring salvation to others by bringing what? By bringing and communicating to them the saving message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you're writing, I'll go again. It says this can also be a way or process of what? Procuring salvation to others by bringing and communicating to them the saving message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that is called the gospel. Praise the Lord. Now, like I said earlier, this is a vital part of our belief system as Christians. And then when evangelism is mentioned or when evangelism is said, it is not just for a particular set of people. Hallelujah. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for teachers. It's not just for the evangelists. It's not just for the prophets and all of that, all of this ministry. No, it's not just for them. You know, this is a call for everyone. Hallelujah. It's a mandate that Christ has given everyone. Quickly, I want us to look at Luke 19, verse 10. Luke 19, verse 10. I hope the media will help me today. Beautiful. All right. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. It was simple and basic and precise. This was why he came. To do what? It says, he came to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. Now, if you open to 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 19, when I mentioned that this is not just for pastors, this is not just for teachers, this is not just for the apostles, it's for everyone believer. The moment you confess Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, this mandate was handed over to you. Praise God. And if you're there, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, we'll read down through to 19. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are what? Are become new. Now, Apostle has explained this word behold to us before. It means become aware, right? That means idol. It says become aware that all things are what? Are become new. Praise God. Now, in verse 18, it says, all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given, not and will give. It says, he hath already given it to us. Hallelujah. So we'll also take notice of the tenses. It says, and hath given to us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. So each and every one of us has a ministry. Yes or yes? Okay. I wanted to hear no. Hallelujah. I'll read down to verse 19. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ. It says what? Reconciling the world unto himself. It says, not imputing their trespasses against them, but he has given them the word of what? Reconciliation. Hallelujah. Are we together? Hallelujah. It says he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, like I said, once you are saved, we are automatically brought into that army, into that conclave of soul winners. So, whether you bargain for it or not, whether you are ready for it or not, God has already earmarked you as a representative in the kingdom to do what? To win souls, to bring many unto righteousness. Now, the job of the pastors, the job of the apostles, the job of the teachers, the job of the evangelists and all of that is to do what? Is to equip us. To do what? To carry out the work of the ministry. Now, evangelism is one of them. Right? Soul winning is one of them. So, when we come here, this is not the ground to come and express. This is a congregation of lights. So, the expectation is that when we are illuminated by God's word, when we receive God's word, when we imbibe the word of God in us, we are expected to go out to our word and express that light and express that word we have received. So this is an equipping ground. This is a building ground. This is a training ground for soul winners. So whether you are aware or not, whether you are conscious of it or not, whether you know it or not, but tonight we are bringing that awareness to you. We are bringing that consciousness to you that you are a part of the army of God. And in that army, one ministry that is peculiar to every one of us is the ministry of reconciliation. So whether you like it or not, you are a minister of the gospel. As a keyboardist, you are a minister of the gospel. As a drummer, you are a minister of the gospel. As a chorister, you are a minister of the gospel. The person on the camera, you are a minister of the gospel. Those doing the lightnings and the settings and all of that, those streaming online, everyone has been handed the ministry of reconciliation. The day you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, you were enlisted into that army. Hallelujah. That's why Christianity, like Apostle would say, is warfare, it's not funfare. When we come in, the idea is that when we are built, we also go back and win our world, bring them in, build them and send them. So it's a WBS principle. When you win, you build and you send. When you win, you build and you send. And that's how we keep enlarging. That's why we keep getting bigger and bigger. That's how we keep depopulating the kingdom of darkness and then populating God's kingdom. Hallelujah. Are we together? Am I too fast? Praise God. If you are with the Bibles, also open to John 20, verse 21 quickly. Now, if soul winning wasn't important, the truth is, the moment you gave your heart to Christ, the Lord would have taken you to heaven, right? You'd have just been raptured. But the fact that we are left on the face of the earth means there's a specific assignment that God wants us to fulfill. Now, there's an analogy I would always give. If you were to be crucified, or if you were to be killed, for a crime or an offense you committed. And then my friend Kings decided to step in on my behalf. Let me just give this as a story. Assumably we are in a house and then we're just bogged into by maybe the law enforcement agency or whatever it is, and they were asking, who is Sunday? And then immediately King said, I am the one. Knowing fully well the repercussion of what he's doing. Knowing fully well that I'm being looked for to be convicted and to be killed. And then he took my place. I said, no, I'm the one. And he was taken. Now, if eventually he gets killed, it's reasonable service. It's only been reasonable, right? That I complete the things that he has spoken with me as a friend that he wanted to do. Peradventure, he has a family. He has children who are in school. It becomes my utmost responsibility to make sure I take care of his family. Right? That I'm being responsible. Logical sense or common reasoning makes it that I make sure that I take care of his family. I make sure his children don't lack. I make sure they go to school. Because that was his responsibility before he was taken, or before he took my place of guilt, or before he took the punishment I was supposed to have taken. Now, this is the same scenario with us as Christians. Jesus came, like we saw in Luke, that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, that assignment was not completed. He had not finished it when he took our place of sin and he gave us his place of righteousness. Now, it is reasonable service that we take up that which he has stopped, or from where he has stopped, and then we continue with it. So if you don't do that, that means you are not being a reasonable Christian. That's what it means. That's what it implies. That we are not being reasonable as Christians. In John 20:21, then Jesus said to them again, he says, peace be unto you. He says, as my Father has sent me, he says, even so send I you. Hallelujah. He says, even so send I you. So just as Jesus was sent, just as the Father sent Jesus, that is how he has also sent us. That's why if you study in 2 Corinthians 5:19, where we read, it says he has committed to us the word of reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation. So it's our responsibility to go out there and reconcile the world back to himself. You might say, oh, I'm a banker. I might not have all of that time. I might not have all of the liberty to win souls. How about the people around you, your colleagues? Is it every day you are in the bank? No. You have off days, Saturdays. You have Sundays as well. So time has never been the challenge. It's a matter of priority and importance. Hallelujah. That's why the Lord is bringing this word our way tonight. Just to bring back that consciousness again. To know that salvation or Christianity or soul winning, or when we became Christians, it doesn't stop with us. Hallelujah. It's a circle. It's a chain reaction. It's a network. So it must not break at your end. So you have to pass the baton to another person. Right? It's just like a relay race. If you have this, what's it called? 400 meters race, right? Where you have about four runners positioned at strategic points. And you have this one run 100 meters to pass the baton to the other. And the other one run 100 meters to pass the baton to the next one. Imagine that the second person passed the baton to the third and the third decided to stop. That means there's no way they can win that race. Even if the fourth person is the fastest, there's no way that race can be won. So we are in a race. You need to understand this. We are in a race. Now, as much as the kingdom of light is contending for souls to bring them into God's dear kingdom, also know that the kingdom of darkness also has amazing strategies put in place to draw men into damnation. It was being shared on Sunday when Apostle Epha was opening our eyes to strategies that the enemy put in place just to see that he holds people bound. But the moment you come out of that quagmire, of that darkness, and you are brought into the kingdom of light, it is expected that you carry that light and then shine it to your world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are we together tonight? So this is very important. Like I said, soul winning, it doesn't end with us. It's a chain reaction. We must pass it on. In this kingdom, it is important that someone is standing because of you. Because right now, you are doing what you are doing today. You are serving the Lord. You are lifting up holy hands, giving God praise, giving God thanks, because someone reached out to you. Because the gospel was ministered to you. So it's important we also take that same gospel to our world and then win our world for Jesus. Praise God. Now, in no distant time, I'm going to be sharing with us on maybe types of evangelism. But before that, I want us to look at Romans 10 quickly. Romans chapter 10. Now, this is what typifies that a man is saved. This is what tells that a man is saved. Because, like Mama introduced, while I was in the ministry where God built me up and then brought me here, you know, would engage in several soul winning activities. In fact, if there's anything they know us with is soul winning. You know, we are all out every week. Every week we have different kinds of strategies we put in place just to make sure we get to people. Sometimes we can come in the form you want us to come. If you want us to come as the Raga Boys, we wear that and then come. But the end product is for us to make sure we get you and bring you into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, in my exercise of soul winning, I've got to understand that several people, very elderly people, committed in church, some are even elders, some are handling responsibilities, building others. But when you ask them, sir, are you saved? They'll tell you, yes, I'm saved. I've been a Christian for over, they'll give you a very long period of time. The next question I'll ask you is, how do you know you are saved? How can you tell? What makes you feel you are saved? Of course, it's not a feeling, but I just want to get a response. And then you hear things like, no, I was born in a Christian family. I'm loving Jesus. I'm not doing bad things. And I've been baptized and all of that. Meanwhile, that in itself is beautiful. But if you go the Bible way, that's not salvation. That one is not saved. Hallelujah. I'm seeing surprises on people's face. All right, let's look at the Bible. I just hope we don't have such here. If we do, after the service, please, you come and meet us so we can get you born again properly. Hallelujah. In Romans 10, from verse 9, we'll start reading from there. It says, that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, it says, thou shalt be saved. Two things. It says, if you believe in your heart, and you do what? And you confess, right? So there has to be a believing and there has to be a confession. Are we following? Are we together? Beautiful. I'll go again. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you proclaim him as Lord. It says, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. It says, thou shalt be saved. Then in verse 10, which is a vivid picture, a graphic picture of how you get someone born again. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there has to be a believing and there has to be a confessing. So if you have not confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are not saved. It will amaze you that I was FCS president in my secondary school and I wasn't saved, but I was preaching to people. Hallelujah. Preaching to people, you know. We just love God. That was all about it. And we're about doing the master's business. Until someone showed me this in scripture. And then I knew, by virtue of the knowledge I saw, by virtue of the light that was brought to me, that I wasn't saved. Now, this is not something to be ashamed of if you have not gone through this. It's because you didn't know. Hallelujah. That's why I started with the proof of life is consciousness. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I want us to also note that there's a difference between soul saved and a soul won, right? Like I said, I just gave us a prototype of how to lead someone to Christ. So when you get to somebody, get that person confess the lordship of Jesus after he has believed the message you've brought to him, which is the gospel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When he has believed that, you get him to confess Jesus as his Lord and Savior. That is when that one becomes saved. So if that has not been achieved, then the soul has not been won. Praise God. Now, when I said there's a difference between a soul saved and a soul won, now, a soul saved is when we get them to do what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. That means you have saved a soul, right? But when you say a soul is won, that means that one is brought into the kingdom, he's been discipled, and he's doing the same thing you are doing. That's when that soul is won. So when it says soul winning, it doesn't just end at getting somebody saved. That is just the beginning. So when you get that person saved, you have to follow up on that person and make sure that person is established. So when that person is established, you make sure you teach that person to do what you're doing. Now, if you are into network marketing, you realize that is a prototype of what they do. They come, they win you in, they equip you by giving you the knowledge, and they expect you to also go recruit someone else and do the same. If that continues, they build a chain of network that grants them residual income. That's what it's called. Hallelujah. So that's what it is, even in the kingdom. You start with winning one. You equip that one, or you bring him into the house of God, and he's equipped by the word of God, just like we're being taught now. And if that one gets built up and he gets standing, you take that one out, just the way you went out and win him, you take that one out as well and teach that person to also win others. So until that person begins to do that, that person is not a soul won, it's a soul saved. Do we get the difference now? So there's a difference between a soul saved and a soul won. So until the WBS principle is applied completely on a person, that person is not yet won. He has just been saved. And remember, I said WBS means win, build, and send. Can we repeat that? Win, build, and send. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you have the Bibles, quickly turn to Mark 16:15. And then Matthew 28:18-20. Quickly, if you have that, can we look at that quickly? Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that's a mandate that's been given unto us. It didn't specify to say, apostles, go ye into the world. No. It didn't say, prophets, go ye into the world. It didn't say, pastors. This is a mandate for every believer. Hallelujah. We call that the Great Commission, right? Now, if this truly stands, then what is our quota in the kingdom? What have we done so far? It's something we need to actually reflect on. Matthew 28, quickly. Matthew 28, from verse 18, we'll read down to verse 20. If you're there, all right. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Next verse. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. It says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is the great commission that has been handed to every one of us as believers. We ought to go out and win our world for Jesus. Praise God. So quickly, let's look at types of evangelism. Quickly, we'll look at types of evangelism. We have the one-on-one evangelism, that's number one. Or we call it personal evangelism. Now, this entails you going out to meet somebody and share the message of the kingdom with that one, right? On your own, you can be prompted by the Holy Ghost. As you walk in, you see someone and maybe the Holy Ghost quickens you to speak to that one. And you go ahead and do that. Now, I wouldn't want to quote this. Let me try and see if I can centralize this word. It says, you can prepare to go and win souls. Or you can go ahead and win souls on the prompt. Now, what do I mean by that? You can decide that, okay, today is Thursday. I want to go out from so time to win souls, right? You go ahead and pray about it and all of that. Prepare yourself, get yourself ready, and then go out to win souls. That's allowed. Okay? Again, you can also be on a different mission altogether. So long as it doesn't tamper with what you want to do or where you're going to or what you want to achieve for that day. If there's a liberty of time, the Holy Ghost can prompt you to actually speak to someone. I've seen that happen several times. We were on our way coming back from Makurdi to Abuja. That was last Sunday. And the person driving just said, I feel a prompting to talk to that lady. He said, why not? Park. Immediately he parked. We were in the car. He went down, called the lady, and ministered to her. She gave her to Christ, exchanged phone numbers, and that's it. You see, so that's being sensitive to God's leading. Now, why is this important? Sometimes when you are prompted like this and you don't act, you'll be amazed that very soul that the Lord prompts you to win is at the verge of being cut off. We've had that experience in 2012. Yes, in 2012, one of our cell leaders gave a scenario. He said he was going for cell meeting, and the Spirit of God prompted him to lead the brother selling recharge card by the road, to lead him to Christ. He now looked at the time. He said, I'm going for cell meeting. When I come back, that's the conversation between him and the Holy Ghost. He says when he comes back, he will definitely win the person. Now, it's not a question of whether he can win. He does that. It's food for him. So winning is food for him. You know, but because there's also moments in the spirit. So when you get compelled like that, a lot of time, as an effective soul winner, you yield. Praise God. Because what God wants to achieve is much more bigger than what you want also go and achieve. I tell you, it wasn't up to 5 paces. He was headed to the venue. When he turned, he just realized a car knocked down that brother because he was trying to cross over to go and sell a recharge card for someone. Someone called him. Imagine the person that called the guy to buy a recharge card. When the car knocked him off, the person was not there. Now, it's not a place you say the person ran or something. Besides, it's not the person's fault. But that was an orchestration to take away that soul. But God had an intervention mechanism. Someone who refused to yield. And from that day, he made up his mind that anyone he comes in contact with, except the Holy Ghost, does not prompt him. Because that night he wept, he cried, and cried, and cried, and cried for that soul that perished. And it's because of that, brother, that we are here today, doing what we are doing as well. Because he also won us, built us, and then sent us to do the same thing he is doing. And see where the Lord has brought us. Hallelujah. So it's important when you have the promptings to win someone, go ahead and do so. Don't wait until the time you have secluded for yourself to go win souls. Don't wait for that time alone. Don't wait for that Thursday or for that Friday or for that Saturday where you actually schedule times to go and win souls. No. When you have the promptings by the Holy Ghost, go ahead and lead that one to Christ. Hallelujah. And then number two, we have the group or the mass evangelism. The group or the mass evangelism. Now, this is a situation where you can go out in groups, right? You can go up in groups. You know, there are times we do house-to-house evangelism. And then when we're doing that, we don't allow sisters alone go to brother's house to go and win them. Of course, we need the brothers in the kingdom, but we don't do that. Hallelujah. Why? Because sometimes they can be... Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. So, in group evangelism, make sure you are in a company and make sure you don't stay far from each other. Right? But in case you want to win a group of people, if you have the liberty of having them congregate as one, it's beautiful. You can have others planted just so it doesn't cause a form of distraction or chaos. And then maybe one person minister to the rest. Just like what happened with the disciples. You know, you had the disciples there ministering. What's it called? Peter ministering to the crowd. But the other disciples were there, right? That was group evangelism. Praise God. I wouldn't want to go into details to explain all of that. And then number three, we have crusades or outreaches. Because of time. Number three, we have crusades or outreaches. There are several kinds of outreach you can do. Several. Praise God. You know, those days when we want to win souls and we know a particular location we are coming to, we survey the place, understand the people, know what they love, and we'll now map out what to do. If we realize it's a group of young people who like a lot of secular songs, what we do is, in the ministry we have people who have very good music, danceable music, and then we'll get the dancers in the ministry. People that dance, that do choreography. And then we can just come and then mount a stage or put, what's it called now? A projector. And then we'll get speakers and play music on high notes. And then we'll have people dancing. Before you know it, we'll have a crowd coming there because people are amazing. You find out young people just come out in their numbers just to come and see what's happening. Some will join to dance. And at the end of the day, we have people already mounted in different positions. So we form like a kind of cage. Those people mounting around are praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping those people there. So that by no means, if that music stops, should anyone turn and say, Kai, I'm going. Because what actually I told the person is not actually the word, it's the music. So quickly, minister leader comes up, or whoever it is that needs to share, will come up and then offer to pray for them. We know. These are just different strategies I'm sharing of outreaches you can do. You know, there are some, it could be food outreach. We just decided to do suya, whatever, and then just get that, do flyers, put people will come. People want to eat suya, free suya. And they come and we give them the gospel. Hallelujah. So you can either do a crusade like the one Encounter Jesus is doing. We had one in Obolo. And by the mercy of God, we're also going to have one this week in Newman. Hallelujah. And then we also have another one next month in Kaduna. We also have another one next month in Nazareth. We will continue to do this until we make sure we win our award for Jesus. Hallelujah. So I mentioned three types of soul winning, right? I said one-on-one evangelism. Number two, I said group or mass evangelism. And number three, I said what? Crusades or outreaches. Hallelujah. Now, all of this should be inspired by the Holy Ghost. All of this form of evangelism should be what? Should be inspired by the Holy Ghost. So why evangelize? Quickly. It is a commandment for everyone. As simple as that. Why do we need to evangelize? It is a commandment for everyone. Just like we saw in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Right? And then Mark 16, 15 as well. Now, the scope of evangelism is in two folds. The scope of evangelism is in two folds. I want to share quickly, if you have your Bible, quickly turn to Matthew 24, 14. Now, that's the first aspect of it. Matthew 24, 14. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." It says, "Was this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a what? For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Hallelujah. So one of the scope of it is we are preaching it to all the world. All the world. Then the second aspect of it is found in Matthew 28, where we read from verse 18 and 19, where it says, "You preach to all creatures." Right? "You preach to all creatures." Apostle is in Pakistan right now. He's taking the gospel of the kingdom to Pakistan. That is a world. Hallelujah. That's an aeon. The word there, world, W-O-R-L-D, is aeon. Your sphere of influence, your sphere of contact. Okay? Somebody in the U.S., has U.S. as his aeon. Okay? Before he can narrow down to his immediate environment. So, we preach to our world and we preach to all creatures. Hallelujah. Which is humans. So, that's the two-fold. Somebody will ask, what am I to say during evangelism? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What am I to say? Peradventure, if you have asked yourself that question before you started winning, so let me see your hands. In fact, the excuse I gave Apostle the first night we drove, you know, he said, "You have seen me win souls. Go out and win that lady." That was in the night around between 7, 8 p.m. The lady was all dressed, going to the club. Practically, you know, these are people that sell their bodies to make money. My heart littered into two. And I said, "Sir, I'm not wearing my shoe." "Wear the shoe now." I tell you, "Sir, I'm not wearing my shoes." So, because I was trying to buy time so that the lady would go. Because I knew I just lost boldness to go and approach that lady. You know. And quickly he parked the vehicle and then stepped out and went, met the lady. Less than 5 minutes, I saw that the lady was crying. I said, "What did this man tell this lady that she's crying?" You know. And then the next day, that was how we went out. And on and on, he would show me how to do it. He would do it, I would see it. And then we'll go and speak to this person. And the Holy Ghost started giving me my own strategies as well. You know, to some, if I come, he will ask me to preach the gospel to them. To some, when I come, he just asks me, request to pray for this person. Because he knows that the person will be hardened. No individual in the world doesn't like prayer. Anybody you meet, if you meet an atheist today and say, "I want to pray for you," he will accept. If you meet an unbeliever, either a Muslim, just tell him, "I want to pray for you, can I pray for you?" He will want. Everybody wants prayer, right? If I'm convicted in my spirit that you're not born again, it's a salvation prayer we are praying straight away. I'll just say, repeat after me. "Lord Jesus, there's no time. When I finish and you understand what we are doing, you are giving your heart to Christ." And I had people in in their numbers doing that. I had people in their numbers, bringing them to church, discipling them, and having them go out to also do the same. Hallelujah. So it's such a beautiful enterprise. So what am I to say during evangelism? The message to preach during evangelism is what? Christ and his kingdom. As simple as that. The message to preach during evangelism is Christ and his kingdom. No matter how downed you are with exegesis, no matter how gifted you are with utterance, you are not expected to go and give them complicated, you know, this our apostolic lingos and all of that. No. As simple as the gospel is, present it to them like that. It might be simple in your ears, but it's powerful. Very simple, but yet powerful. In fact, there are times the Holy Ghost will put words in your mouth. As you are speaking it, you yourself knows that what you are saying does not make any sense. But because it is in those words that the convicting power lies. Because you are just a servant. Hallelujah. You are only speaking, but it's the Holy Ghost that convicts. So what you might be saying might not be making sense to you, but the Holy Ghost is impressing something in the heart of that person. And then you'll be surprised when you want to lead the person to Christ, the person is open and yielded. And then you'll be amazed. Is it this thing I just said now? It's because you speak, but the Holy Ghost empowers your word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it might be simple, but it is powerful. Because the Holy Ghost is the one that what? That convicts. He's the one that pricks the heart of the people you are speaking with. Can we quickly look at Acts 8 from verse 5 to 8? Acts chapter 8 from verse 5 to 8. I'll read. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Verse 6, it says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto the sayings, or unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. In verse 7, it says, for unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Verse 8, it says, and there was great joy in that city. There was what? Great joy in that city. Quickly, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. This is just to let us know that it's solely Christ. It says, Philip preached what? He preached Christ. Hallelujah. And his kingdom. Christ and his kingdom. Acts 4, 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Save the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when you bring the gospel to people, you're not coming to tell them about Moses. You're not coming to tell them about Elisha. You're not coming to tell them about David and all of that. No. It's Christ and his kingdom. Christ and him crucified. That is the simple message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So quickly, we'll look at benefits of soul winning. Benefits of soul winning. Number one, it is a vital channel for kingdom reward based on your fruitfulness. This is a vital channel for kingdom reward, and this is based on your fruitfulness. Quickly, can we look at Daniel 12:3? We'll find that in Daniel 12:3. Daniel 12:3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as stars forever and ever. Hallelujah. So that means we have crowns of glory. And the crown of glory you receive, like we have been told, or like this scripture has said, there will be stars on them. For the souls you've won, there will be stars on them. Every soul you win is a star added to you. Every soul you win is a star added to your crown. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Number two, it makes you wise. Number two, it makes you wise. Now, these are benefits for winning souls. I said number one, it's a vital channel for kingdom reward based on your fruitfulness. Number two, it makes you wise. Proverbs 11:30. And then you can also write Daniel 12:3, which we just read. But we're looking at Proverbs 11:30. It says, the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life. And he that winneth soul is... He that winneth soul is what? So that's one of the fastest ways to gain wisdom. If you want to build wisdom, if you want to grow in wisdom, this is one of the ways. Apart from asking, apart from engaging God's word, this is one of the fastest ways to gain wisdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Number three, it's a proof of maturity. It's a proof of maturity. Galatians 4:19. Galatians 4:19. It says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. My little children. My little children. That means the person speaking is not a child. Right? Hallelujah. The person speaking is not a child. So when you win a soul, or when you get someone born again, it's a responsibility to work on that person until he stands. Now, you are going to labor in the place of prayer to establish that one. You are going to labor with the word to establish that one. Praise God. So, it shows that you are matured. You have come to a place that God can hand responsibilities to you. If you are able to win a soul. I'm not saying get a soul saved. If you are able to win a soul, that means you have come into maturity. Why? Because what you know, you have been able to pass it to another person. Right? And the person also is able to do that which you are doing. Praise God. So it's a proof of maturity. Number four. Four, right? Alright, beautiful. It exposes us to an uncommon dimension of God's power. It exposes us to an uncommon dimension of God's power. Uncommon dimension of God's power. Mark 16:20. Mark 16, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Hallelujah. It says the Lord confirming. It says, and they went forth. We'll come back to that scripture. It says, and they went forth. That means they actually went out to win souls. Hallelujah. So before you see that power at work, you need to go forth. Praise God. You need to go out to win souls. Acts 14:3, quickly. Acts 14:3. It's a long time therefore about they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So this is an avenue whereby we have been exposed to an uncommon dimension of God's power. Hallelujah. So if you want to see God's power at work, begin to go out to win souls. You'll be amazed. Why? Because the Lord will need to empower you such that you'll be able to meet the needs of those people out there. You can go out and the salvation someone needs is a healing. Once you bring healing to that person, you'll be able to bring Christ to that one. Hallelujah. So this exposes us to uncommon dimension of God's power. Number five, it's a proof of discipleship. It's a proof of discipleship. John 15:7 to 8. John chapter 15 from verse 7 to 8. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Next verse. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my what? So shall ye be my what? Now, this is a sign to show that you are his disciple. And then he mentioned that again in Mark 16:17. He says, this sign shall follow them that believe. He says, in my name, you will cast out devils, you speak with new tongues. If you take up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. So there are signs that follow the believing ones. But if you say you are Jesus' disciple, then you must win souls. Hallelujah. It's a sign or it's a proof of discipleship. Glory to God. Glory to God. Is that number six? Okay, seven. It confers greatness. Okay, we are on six now. Okay, it confers greatness. It confers greatness. Psalm 68 verse 11. Soul winning confers greatness. Psalm 68 verse 11. I said, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Now, this could be numerical greatness or greatness by stature. Right? It says, great was the company of those that published it. Anyhow you want to use it. If you say great when it has to do with multitude, it's still fine. If you say great by virtue of you becoming a man of stature, it's also correct. Hallelujah. And we decide to go with the boat. Hallelujah. It says, great is the company of them that published it. The Lord gave the word. The Lord gave the word. It says, great was the company of them that published it. If you want to achieve greatness in life, this is one of the ways. By winning souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just factored this into what I wanted to share. Secrets of effective soul winning. Secrets of effective soul winning. Secrets of effective soul winning. Ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing me. We have come, lead all the world. Let the ancient words be cut. Hallelujah. First, win them in prayers. First, win them in prayers. Why? Because prayer is what births conviction. It's in the place of prayer you are able to win somebody. Now, there's something Apostle taught me years ago when we started the soul winning escapade. He says the best time, especially if you know who you want to win, you know, there are targeted souls. You can target a soul. And you insist until that one comes to the light, until the gospel comes to that one. Now, it can happen that you might not be the one to win that one. It could be that somebody else will win him. But because you labor for that person in prayer, somehow heaven makes way for that one to be saved. So he will teach me, and he will ask me, okay, you know our neighborhood, pick 5 souls. I'll now write down their names. And of course he has his. We put it on the floor and then you ask us to pray. So we kneel down, we pray in the spirit on those people. When we have gotten to an energy level, we begin to call those people's name. Now, the way they call people at night, you know, your spirit is, your soul structure is everything is relaxed. Your body is relaxed, your soul is relaxed, your spirit, your soul is not noisy at that moment, right? It's relaxed, everything is just calm. That's why they can summon you at night. The people in the negative supernatural, they understand this. They do most of their shady or wicked businesses at night when men sleep. Hallelujah. So if you're not one that your spirit is always active and alive, they might just summon you and a lot of things might go wrong. So when we find or when we have these kinds of souls, we just put them and we begin to pray in the spirit. When we have gotten to a certain energy level and we know we have the liberty to speak words, then we'll begin to speak into those people's destiny. We'll call them by name and we'll begin to inject those words into them. We commend you to the word of God's grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. We bring you into the kingdom. In the name of the Lord, we begin to prophesy those words. And shortly after, you find that those people are opened to the gospel. We either win them or somebody else wins them. And you find them doing something in the kingdom. Very important. So prayer cannot be overemphasized. It is one of the first anchors when you want to go and win souls. You must pray for them. You must travail for them in the place of prayer. A soul you have not prayed for, you are not qualified to win. Hallelujah. You must take time to pray. That's why when we come here sometimes, we spend 3 hours praying. We are praying for the salvation of souls. And then somebody in Pakistan or somebody in India or somebody in the US, just all of a sudden somebody comes and wins him over to Jesus. And then you're wondering how that happens. A lot of you will have shockers on the last day. You know, I normally say this. Sometimes you give when there's an outreach or when there's a crusade. And you might not be there, but because your funds made that happen, you'll be amazed that some souls will be accrued to you. It happens. It's a kingdom mystery. You might not be able to go all around the world, but you know people who have influence to affect the world. So you push them with your funds. You push them in prayers. You push them with your resources for them to go reach out to those people. If those people get saved, you are also a part of that soul that has been won. It's a wisdom, it's a wisdom or a mystery in the kingdom. So it's important when there's a call to give, when it has to do with kingdom mandate or when it has to do with souls, make sure you are a part of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mark 1 verse 35. Quickly, let's look at that. Mark 1 35. Like I said, prayer beds convictions in the hearts of the people. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place where he does what? Prayed. This was customary of Jesus. Every day you find him going out early in the morning to pray. Early in the morning to pray. Early in the morning to pray. That's why when he comes out from there, he is just above everything. He understands. He just knows what to do. So it's important. Don't play down the place of prayer when it has to do with soul winning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke 22, 31 to 32, quickly. And then if you have a chance, you can also look at Galatians 4, 19, where it talks about my little children, of whom I travail for you, bet unto Christ before the day. Luke 22, 31 to 32, it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He says, but I have prayed for you. Hallelujah. That thy faith faileth not. And when thou art converted, it says what? Strengthen your brethren. Jesus says, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. In Colossians 4:12, it talks about Epaphras. It says, he's one of you, a born servant of Christ. It says, he labors fervently for you in prayers, that you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Hallelujah. So prayers cannot, we can't overemphasize the importance of prayer in soul winning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number two, submit to the leading and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Submit to the leading and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. John 16, 13. You can write that down. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. Okay, John 16, 13. He said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he said, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. So if you trust the Holy Ghost that much to show you things to come, you must also yield to his leading. Because the way you might want to do it might not be the way he wants it to be done. Hallelujah. Like Apostle Wallace said, it's not can it be done? It should it be done? Hallelujah. It's a question of whether should it be done. How should it be done? So there's how the Holy Ghost wants to get glory for that. So you must perpetually yield to him. That's why I told you in my experiences, I could come and the Holy Ghost says, share the gospel with him. In some other cases, it's just a pray for the person. Just ask to pray for him. And in some cases, all I just do is just invite the person to church. That's all. I don't even bother. I just invite you to come to church. When you come and the word pricks your heart, that's an avenue for you to get saved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we must do what? Submit to the leading and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So you can look up also Acts 8:29 because of time. John 5:19. Then number three. One of the secrets of soul winning or evangelism is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Without power, evangelism cannot be effective. Hallelujah. Because it is power that has the ability to break addictions. Power, like Apostle would say, is a proof of life. You can look that up in Luke 24, verse 49, Acts 1, 8, and then you can check Acts 4, 33. Can we look at Luke 24 and 49 quickly? Without power, evangelism cannot be effective. And behold, I sent the promise of my Father upon you, but it says, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So when we tarry in the place of prayer, this is what we endure. You get endued. So when you go out, you are emboldened. You have that liberty to dispense that power which you have been endued with. Like I said, you could just meet somebody who is sick, and the salvation you are bringing to that person could be the healing power of God. That could be the salvation you're bringing to that one. Hallelujah. So it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. How to be an effective soul winner? Number what? Four, right? Number four? Yes. You must go out. That's how to be an effective soul winner. Okay. Like right now, we just shared, and everybody knows how to be an effective soul winner. If we didn't go out, we have not done anything. Right? So, these things we've heard, we must go out. That's how to be effective. So, until you go out, you will not know what the experience looks like. And don't be perturbed. The first time you go out, in fact, you might get bounced back. It's part of the training. Hallelujah. There are times you go and they want to see if you don't get out of this place. Hey. You know, after praying and going, you'll be warned seriously. But all of that builds you up. It just encourages you to do much more. And then to keep praying for that one. Hallelujah. So you must go out. Mark 16:20. Evangelism is not theoretical. It's not theory. It's practical, right? Soul winning is not theory. We are just sharing now to equip ourselves. But the end to this sharing is when we go out to actually do that which we've heard. Hallelujah. Mark 16:20. Okay. And they went forth. I told us we're going to be coming back here. That's my emphasis. And they went forth. And they went forth. And they went forth. So they didn't just only receive and sit. They went forth. Praise the Lord. We can also look at Luke 8 verse 1. Talking about Jesus as the master example. Luke 8 verse 1. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. So that means even Jesus had to go out. Hallelujah. So to become an effective soul winner, you must go out. And then number 5, you must know and understand the gospel. You must know and you must understand the gospel. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there's a right way to divide the word of truth. Hallelujah. It says, the labor of the foolish wearies everyone because they know not how to enter the city. So there's a way to enter into a man's heart and get him born again. So until you understand, until you know and then you understand the gospel, the kingdom, not so much can be done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We can also look at Luke chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. If you have that liberty of reading it, fine. But if we don't, you know. Alright, it says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed amongst us, verse 2, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, from the very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Now, my emphasis is having had perfect understanding. And he now went forth to say, of all things, from the very first to write unto thee in order. There's an order. Hallelujah. There's a pattern, there's a way. That's why he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Praise the Lord Jesus. Number 6, keep the message simple. Keep the message simple. Of course, that it is simple, you must also let the people know that it should not be trivialized. Okay? That the gospel of the Lord Jesus is simple, but it shouldn't be trivialized. It costs someone his life. Hallelujah. So we can study that in 2 Corinthians 11:3. 2 Corinthians 11:3. If we can have that quickly, then that will be fine. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Okay? Now, that the gospel of the kingdom, or that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is simple, does not mean it should be trivialized. Hallelujah. Else, you might find yourself walking in so much error. And that's one of the challenges in our world today. You know, the message of grace being abused because of its simplicity. So we tend to abuse it. Praise God. Keep the message simple. Number 7, right? Lead the people to Christ. Lead the people to Christ. Don't lead them to pray. Don't lead them to fast. Lead them to Christ. Lead them to Christ. Don't lead them to pray. You know, Apostle told me that. That's why he's stuck. So, young man, don't lead them to pray. Don't lead them to fast. Lead them to Christ. Hallelujah. Because that's your goal. You can end up leading somebody to pray, and then he'll be so strong in praying and he doesn't understand why he's even praying. You might lead somebody to fast, and you just fast and fast and fast, and he doesn't even know why he's fasting. But if you lead that person to Christ, praying will become easy, fasting will become easy. Hallelujah. All of that is important, but the emphasis is to lead the people to Christ. Number 8, fill them up with the Holy Spirit. Fill them up with the Holy Spirit. The job is not complete until that person is filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are these secret stuff? That's why I call them secrets. Hallelujah. So you have to fill that person with the Holy Spirit. So it's not complete. You have not finished saving that person if you have not filled him with the Holy Ghost. That's where it begins from. Praise God. So on your own, you can look up Acts 19 from verse 1 to 6. You can also look up Acts 8 from verse 15 and 16. Maybe we should look at Acts 8. Acts chapter 8 from verse 15 and 16. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Next verse. For as yet he was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. So it's important that when you go out to win these people, you fill them with the Holy Ghost. How do you do that? You can lay hands on them. Some you might not even need to lay hands on them, but because of the search and the convictions of the Holy Ghost in them, there will just be a transference. And before you know it, pop. One of the signs is they begin to speak in tongues. Now, I said one of the signs that you lay hands on somebody and he doesn't speak in tongues does not mean you have not filled him with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Some people can receive that instantly. Okay? Why some? It might take a while. I know one of my aunties. I wouldn't want to call a name. I know one of my aunties. She got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, but never spoke in tongues until after 2 years. In fact, she was serving. She was actually serving, and she's a Catholic. She was actually serving. In one of those nights, when she woke up to pray, and she opened her mouth to pray, the Holy Ghost seized her voice. And she realized she was saying very strange things that she didn't like. She stopped and gathered herself again. I wanted to go again. And pop, the Holy Ghost seized her. And that was how she stretched for about 3 hours. When she finished, she called us in the night. We were resting. To tell us that she was speaking in tongues. Now, did that infilling happen that moment? No. It happened when she was filled. When hands were laid on her, right? But the manifestation, it could take a while. It could happen instantly. So please, don't... If you have the conviction in your spirit that you have transferred it, don't go and labor, and you are insisting, and the person is just looking at you. The person is just looking at you. It could be a sharing, it could be a show, it could be a scene. Why? Because a very senior pastor shared with us, he was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he has pioneered one of the biggest churches in Lagos, in Christ Embassy. I wouldn't want to call his name. He said when he was prayed for, he didn't speak in tongues instantly. It took him 2 months. But he was effective. He was doing the work of the ministry. So until after 2 months, then it came. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then lastly, bring them to church for further discipleship. Bring them to church for further discipleship. 1 Timothy 3 verse 15. Hebrews 10, 25. I think we'll just look at those two, but you can write the others. Psalm 133 from verse 1 to 3. 1 Timothy 3, 15. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Have you noticed that there are several people you bring to church for the first time, and the way they are behaving, even you begin to be ashamed. Then why did I bring this person? The person is almost embarrassing you. He will just stand up and then maybe just walks the way he wants to walk, and then maybe pass through where the ministers are sitting, and he does all kinds of things. But it is in the house of God that he will be taught to behave himself orderly. Hallelujah. That's why in Hebrews 10:25 it says, not neglecting the gathering of the saints. It says, as the manner of some is. So if you know the gathering of the saints is important, you also bring those people who you have won, so that they can also be equipped. They can also be trained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because of time tonight, I want to end with this. How to lead a soul to Christ. It's as simple. We've seen that scripture, but we'll look at it again, and then we'll close with that. Romans 10, 8 to 10. That is how to lead a soul to Christ. It's as simple as that. If in your soul winning adventure or your exercise, you get to find out that the person has not done this, that means that person is not saved. That person can be a deacon in the church, he could be an elder, he could be anyone, anybody at all. But if the person has not believed in his heart, and he has not confessed Jesus as his Lord and personal Savior, that one is not saved. Hallelujah. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has risen from the dead, it says thou shalt be saved. And it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is how to lead a soul to Christ. Make sure, as you minister to him, if he has believed in his heart, it doesn't end there alone. He needs to make the confession. Praise God. He needs to believe and confess Jesus as his Lord and personal Savior. Can we go ahead and just honor the Lord and thank him for the words we've heard? Ancient ones, ever true, change me and change you. Father, we love you, we honor you, we appreciate you. Thank you for the privilege to look into your word. Lord, we are illuminated by your word in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we become all that your word talks about in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we leave this place, we carry the consciousness of soul winners in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we become effective in soul winning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive that grace, we receive that ability by the Spirit of God to go out and evangelize our word for Jesus. Thank you, Father, for you have answered. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Can we give Jesus a big, 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 big hand?
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.